from today's Gospel, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 20, verse 22. Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." When I arrived in San Diego all those years ago, I assumed that San Diego was named after St. James the Great. For the Spanish Diego is usually translated in English as James or Jim. I also had in mind the great Spanish place of pilgrimage, San Diego Compostela, in the northwest of Spain. It is a place of pilgrimage that has become very popular with young people in recent decades. It is a much-visited shrine, San Diego Compostela, but to make the official pilgrimage, you have to walk what is called the Way of St. James, which is over 500 miles, beginning in France. This was the medieval pilgrimage, long before trains and cars, of course, when people walked. It's become so popular, it's been featured on television and in books. And I know about this because in my last parish, a young woman came to me and was going to make this pilgrimage, but to be a certified pilgrim, she had to have a letter from her parish priest. And she advised me that with the letter, she would get a passport and that it would be stamped in all the places where she stopped overnight, so that a proof you had made the pilgrimage would have all these stamps leading up to the great shrine in Compostela. San Diego Compostela in English means St. James of the Field of Stars. This romantic title points to the tradition of San Diego Compostela. And the tradition is this. It is said that St. James went to Spain as an apostle, following the command of Jesus that the 12 should go into all lands and preach the gospel. And he evangelized the people of that peninsula. Then after he was beheaded by King Herod in the year 42 AD, some of his disciples took his body across the Mediterranean to Spain. And they received permission from the queen of the area where Compostela is, Queen Lupa, to bury his body there, a sort of homecoming for the missionary bishop. There, St. James' body remained buried without much fuss for 750 years. And then in the 9th century, a Christian hermit saw lights in the sky. Not Star Wars, but some sign which he found led him to the grave of St. James, which was now not noticed very much. He reported this discovery to the king, Alfonso II, and the king ordered a church to be built over the grave of St. James. It became a shrine and became the third most visited pilgrimage site for Christians after Jerusalem and Rome. Considering that Compostela is in a remote part of northwestern Spain, it is indeed perhaps a sign from God, for many of the shrines of Mary are in remote places, offering, requiring a great journey, as Compostela does. Now, of course, we may dismiss this as just another medieval legend, which is colourful, except for one thing. In the 9th century, when all this happened under King Alfonso, the Moors by now were occupying the greater part of Spain, except for this small coastal strip along the northwest where Compostela was. Were the stars in the sky a sign from God to strengthen the Christian people as they faced this invasion from the Muslims? Possibly it was. We know for fact, certainly, that from then on, the Christians grew in their self-confidence with this motivating force of the sign of the stars, and they eventually took back their country from the Muslims, though it did take 500 years. So far for the legend, but what do we actually know about St. James the Great? Acts 11 tells us he was the first apostle to be martyred, the first of the 12. And we know from the book of the Acts that he was the Bishop of Jerusalem, the first bishop, who presided over those many councils, particularly the one where Peter and Paul had to lead the council to decide that they should preach to the Gentiles also. He was also present when Jesus performed many of his miracles, and perhaps most intimately, he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane on that night of betrayal when Jesus withdrew from the apostles and took with him Peter, James, and John. But perhaps even more significantly, James was there on Mount Tabor when Jesus was transfigured. All the Gospels record that when this happened, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. Obviously, by this time, they were the three special apostles, if you like, the inner sanctum, the ones whom Jesus trusted the most. But the most interesting passage in the whole of the Gospels concerning St. James is, however, our Gospel today. I've always enjoyed this Gospel as a story because I had this great picture of the mother of James and John, Mrs. Zebedee, pushing forward through the disciples, asking that Jesus might give her sons, above all the others, a special place, the seats of honour. A mother's pride, believing, of course, that her two sons were a cut above the rest. I'm sure all mothers can understand Mrs. Zebedee's enthusiasm for her children. She wants the best seats in the kingdom for them. Though she obviously has no idea, of course, what she is actually asking for. So Jesus responds to her request with a question to the two brothers, James and John. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? Their immediate reply was, we are able. They were very enthusiastic for the best seats too, of course, but that also shows they had no idea what Jesus meant. Indeed, I'm sure St. James never understood that he would be martyred just 10 years later, nor that 2,000 years later a small group of Episcopalians would meet in this hall to honour him in the red vestments, the colour of his blood. But we know what Jesus meant when he said, are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? For the cup that Jesus was to drink came barely a week later, on that night of Maundy Thursday in Gethsemane, when Jesus said, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. So Mark, in his version of the Gospel, has a slightly different saying. He quotes Jesus asking, are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am to be baptized? This was not a baptism of water he was referring to, but of course a baptism of blood. Indeed, James and John should have realized what Jesus was talking about. For back on Mount Tabor, at the time of the Transfiguration, is recorded that Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about his exodus. Another baptism of blood familiar to all Jewish people, the blood of the Lamb. As if to emphasize all this interplay between the seats in the kingdom and Maundy Thursday evening, at the end of Jesus' response to James and John, he talks about service and says, the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Words echoed at the Last Supper, where St. Luke records that the 12 who were arguing amongst themselves were told how silly their request was, because they were called to be servants. It was a silly request, and St. James would be the first amongst them to taste the cup of martyrdom. But of course, the story of the apostles does not end in martyrdom and death. Compostela in Spain reminds us that in death, the apostles are honoured for what they became, not for their human failings or their silly weaknesses. And in Revelation chapter 21, heaven is described as the New Jerusalem, and its 12 foundation stones are the 12 apostles. The Church of God is founded on these apostles, on St. James and the others. When we state in the Creed on Sunday that we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, the word believe refers to the faith taught by the apostles. So the church is that community which follows in the tradition of the apostles and believes the Catholic faith that has been handed down to us from them. The church, a community of faith. The church as a community has been more obvious to us here these past two Sundays as we have worshipped in the hall. Taken away from our familiar and beautiful church, we've been closer to each other, literally, and closer to the altar that the Mass has been perhaps more intimate even in its more Spartan surroundings. If we lost something of dignity or our usual familiar way of worship, we perhaps gained more feeling of being the community of All Saints Church. Of course, we'll be glad to return to the church next Sunday, but hopefully we will have a better understanding when we do return that we are the body of Christ. And perhaps we will see in our church building a symbol and representation of what we are called to be, a chosen race, a holy people, a holy temple to the Lord. And perhaps we will see ourselves in union with all those other holy people in every age, right back to St. James. May the prayers of St. James and all those saints help us to drink whatever cup the Lord presents to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.